exceptionally, exceptionally good. I love those old songs. My, never, never, never get weary of singing and hearing song. Those great hymns that glorify our Lord. That one by Isaac Watts. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 3. Pastor read the second chapter this morning, chapter 1, this evening, chapter 2. Now, in chapter 3, the very first word is behold, behold, which means that's forthcoming. Is an announcement of the greatest importance. Look up. Lift up your head. Listen carefully. Behold, consider this, the great announcement. Behold, Isaiah said, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. Behold, that's an unusual announcement, isn't it? And call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God, behold, God will become a man. Isn't that something? And then one night, some shepherds were out on the Judean hillside keeping their flocks, the scripture says, by night. And suddenly, there was with them a multitude of the heavenly host. And the glory of God shone round about them. They were afraid. Can you blame them? And one of the angels said, behold, look, listen. We're about to announce the most unusual, amazing event. Behold, behold. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is none other than Christ the Lord. Behold. And then one day there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, miraculously born himself. He had an earthly father and mother, but they were both old. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Of him, the Lord said, there's no one born of woman greater than that man. And God gave him an unusual ministry. And the scripture says people, the whole world went after him. People came out to hear this man preach in his camel hair garments. Even the king, Herod, feared him and did many, many things. One day this unusual man was standing with two of his disciples, two of his followers, and he pointed his finger and he said, behold, look, listen, the Lamb of God. That makes cold chills run up down my back. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is the one Isaiah's talking about. This is the one of whom the angel spake. There he is, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And one day, time shall be no more. One day, the glorious covenant of our God will be complete. One day the church will be called out and the clouds will roll back and the voice of the archangel shall cry, behold, behold, look up. He cometh with clouds and every eye shall see him. He's coming. Well, you say, preacher, those are astounding announcements. All beginning with that word, behold, look. Amazing, amazing, amazing. God became a man. But I'll tell you, here in our text is an announcement just as amazing. And it's no less amazing or incredible than all these other announcements. It says, listen, chapter 3, 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that is an amazing thing. You say that God Almighty became a man. I have to agree with you. That is incredible. But let me tell you something. For this man, someday, to be like God is just as incredible. No less miraculous. Isn't that right? For God Almighty to leave glory and come down here and dwell among us is honestly no more amazing and miraculous than someday for folks like you and me who've been lifted from the very dunghill of the rottenness of human flesh, and one day we're going to walk on streets of gold and be like Christ. Now, behold, brother, behold, incredible, amazing, what an announcement. What an announcement. Well, let's see more. If it's got my attention, I hope it's got yours with equal interest. Behold, what manner of love this is that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. What manner of love is this? I tell you, it's something human nature can't produce and knows little about. It's a divine love. Herein is love. Here is love. Take me to a young man who adores and loves the creature of his affection, his beloved bride. And you see in his face love. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about. See a mother as the doctor brings and lays in her arms that newborn infant that God has just given her, and she looks at it with adoring eyes. You say, that's love. No, no, not yet. Or a father beholding a beloved son, or a mother, a precious daughter. No, here is love. This is love. Not that we love God. He loved us. And go yonder to Calvary, and I'll show you real love. And gave his son to be the sacrifice, the mercy seat, the covering, the blood offering, the propitiation for my sin. That's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. When we were enemies, Christ died for us. God, it's divine love. It's everlasting love. He said, I've drawn you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. What manner of love? Divine, everlasting. And let me tell you, it's unchanging. How long has God loved his own? Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He's always loved. There's never been a time when God didn't love his elect. He loves them with the same love wherewith he loves Christ Jesus and glorifies them with the same glory. That's right. It's divine love. It's everlasting love. It's unchanging love. It's redeeming love. And it says here, listen, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's free. It's the gift of God. It's not deserved. It's not merited. What have I done to deserve this? Nothing. Not one thing. You haven't done anything. You're not doing anything now. And we never will do anything to deserve such love. The Father loved us when we didn't love Him. He chose us before we chose Him. He called us before we called on Him. It says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Sons of God. Brethren, this is not a mere name. People use it so flippantly and carelessly, sons of God. This is more than a name. This is more than a claim. This is more than a profession. This is an actual experience. We are sons of God. Sons of God. And let me show you that. Turn with me to a few scriptures. First of all, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're sons of God by adoption. I don't know whether anyone in Central Baptist here has adopted children in your household, but in our congregation in Ashton, we have several families of adopted children. And those children are just as much their sons and daughters as Paul is my son. They've been adopted. They've been chosen. They've been adopted. They've been received into the family and given the family name. And they're heirs of their father just like any other natural born child. They're adopted, and God has adopted us into His family. Look at Ephesians 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He chose to adopt us and made us sons of God by adoption. But now, we are children of God not only by adoption, but we're children of God by regeneration. Now, let me just quote this scripture. If you're taking notes, write it down. John 1. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of natural generation, not of blood, that is, not of ancestry, and not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but they're born of God. We're sons of God by adoption, and we're sons of God also by regeneration. We're born of God into the family of God. Born of the water, the Word, and the Spirit. Now, when these children in our church at home were adopted into the family, the Robinette family adopted some children, the Roach family adopted some children, these fathers could not give to these children their natures. In other words, these children have the genes of somebody else. The talents and genes and characteristics and so forth. One of the ladies this morning said when I was up here preaching, she could see Brother Paul in me. You know what? He's my son. He came from my bowels. He's even got bad eyesight like I do. He'll have one day bad hearing like I do probably. I gave him some bad traits. He's my son. He's like me. And the older he gets, the more he'll look like me and act like me. Heaven forbid. But it's so. It's just so. He's my son. He's got my nature. You see what I'm saying? So this is what God does for us. We have the nature of God. God not only adopts us into His family, but He regenerates us. That's right. And we have, God is kind and His children are kind. God loves holiness and His children love holiness. God Almighty is holy and His children are holy. God Almighty is generous and His children are generous. God Almighty is merciful and His children are merciful. They're like Him. Am I telling the truth? It's exactly like Him. Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. And it's not just a name that you grab a hold of your own. It's not just a claim. It's not just a religious profession. It's an actual experience. I'm a son of God, chosen by God, selected out of this world. When the parents went down to the orphanage, they didn't adopt everybody. They adopted Susan Ropes, they adopted Trish Robinette, they adopted Wally, they adopted those children, they chose them, took them home with them, rolled them in the wheel. And that's what God did for me, adopted me. But not only that, He regenerated me. He took my old heart out and gave me His heart, the heart of flesh. That's right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This man is born from this man. And it's just natural he's going to be like him to some extent. He'll improve on it, thankfully, but he'll be like him. That's just so. So that's why we're born of God. All right, thirdly, and we're born of God by His Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 8. We're born of God. Romans chapter 8. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Father, Father. Hebrew, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. I've got His Spirit in me. I was preaching down in Cherokee for Brother Tim James recently, and I brought out a point that I think is vital. I love the old hymns. I love John Newton. I just, in all my life, I've quoted John Newton's great How Tedious, How Tasteless, one of my favorite hymns. Another I've quoted for years is, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it gives me anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no, am I His or am I not? I got to thinking about that. And I thought, that's not good. Really. If I said that to Doris, she'd be upset. 'Tis a point I long to know, or if it gives me anxious thought, do I love you or no? Am I your husband or am I not? She'd say, hey, hold on here now. That's right. If I said that to Paul, he'd be upset. He said to me, I'd be greatly upset. I don't know why I love you or not. Yes, I do. Not like I ought to, not like I want to, not like I should, but I do. And I know God, don't I? I know I love Christ. Do I love the Lord or no? Sure I love the Lord, my soul. Peter said these other fellows may not know I love you, but I know I love you and you know I love you. You know everything, he said. You know I love you. Well, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, I know that. I'm His weakest sheep, but I'm His sheep. I'm His frailest son, but I'm His son. And I'll tell you this. God is infinitely more gracious than we are, and sometimes we love the child with the most infirmities more than the rest of them. We're just kind of drawn to them. Like a mother said one time, I said, why do you pay so much attention to this child? He needs me most. He needs me most. That's right, isn't it? So I'm a son of God. You are too, by adoption, by regeneration, and by His Spirit. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. We are what? Sons of God. And look at the next verse here, next line, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love, my goodness, the Father hath bestowed, given freely upon us. He chose to do it, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. Why? It didn't know Him. It didn't know Him. You know Mary, the mother of Christ, the woman the Lord chose to use as the instrument, bring Him into the world. She had other children. You know that, don't you? It tells about them over here in Matthew 12, if you want to turn over there a minute. Matthew 12, verse 46. Matthew 12, 46. While He talked to the people, while He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak to Him. See, there were several of them, Judah and Joseph and his sisters. There was Mary, after she gave birth to Jesus of Nazareth, Christ, had other children, several of them. And look now at John chapter 7. His brethren didn't believe on Him. They were brought up right there in the home with Him, and they didn't believe on Him. No, they didn't. John chapter 7, verse 2. John 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and His brethren therefore said unto Him, His brethren, depart hence and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. For there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in Him. They didn't believe in Him. He was in the world, and the world didn't know Him. He came in his own didn't receive Him. And in His own household, our Lord said, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own house and among his own kindred. They didn't believe on Him. And this is what John is saying here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called sons of God. But the world doesn't know us. Now, you have brothers and sisters. Some of you mothers and fathers, cousins, aunts and uncles. I have a big family on my mother's side, a big family on my daddy's side. They're about all dead now. I had a natural brother and a natural sister. I have nephews, nieces. And I might minister in Kentucky and around other places and travel and preach the gospel and write, but there's not anybody on either side of my family ever listened to me as a preacher. Ever. I've been privileged to be a blessing to some people, but not to them. And not to a lot of people. And you come and just, you have this same experience yourself, and you say to your family and your friends, your co-workers, they're people who work side by side with you, you're a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of Jesus Christ in the family of God. And you say to them, look, I'm a son of God. I know the gospel. And you do. I know the mystery of godliness. I know the mystery of Christ and His church. I know who Jesus Christ is and why He came and what He did and where He is now. Would you let me tell you about Him? Would you listen to me? I've got some good news for you. I got the greatest news in the world to tell you. No, you just stand to them, that's all. You're just John. Boy, it lived next door. That's right. Or the little fella used to deliver their papers. Or the kid next door. That's all. or the filling station man where they buy their gas. They've known you for years. You're just Henry to them. You're Son of God. Your name's in glory. You're an heir of God. You know the gospel. God's given you a heart to love Christ, and you've got a message. They won't listen to you. They listen to some foolish preacher that came down the pike that went to a seminary somewhere and it conferred a degree on him, and he doesn't know A from Zizzard. And they just bow at his feet and throw their money to him. You stand around here with the gospel of God's grace. That's right, Rick. People you work with, John, you know what I'm talking about. Deb, they don't listen to you. They don't know you because they didn't know him. Somebody said, let others see Jesus in you. They didn't see Jesus in Jesus. Isn't that right? They didn't know him. They said, give us Barabbas. What am I going to do with Jesus? Just crucify him. That's right. Oh, it's sad. Oh, I got something to tell them. I wish they'd listen. I wish they would too. I wish they would. I had an uncle. When I was a little boy, the Depression was on. I was born 26. You know what happened, 29, 30, 31, 32. Somebody said, we're so poor. We ate dried apples for breakfast, drank water for dinner, and swelled up for supper. But anyway, he said it's too poor to paint and too proud to whitewash. You all know about it. You used to put whitewash on the houses because couldn't afford paint. But anyway, I had an uncle. He's somebody. He was a politician, a barber. All these things. We lived on the other side. I mean, the track wasn't even there. We passed it. They lived downtown. But he never had any use for, especially after we came to know the gospel of Christ. But he got old, got in his 80s. And before he died, not so awful long ago, he passed the word to somebody, I believe it was his son, that he'd kind of like to talk to Henry sometime about what he believes. But he never had any use for Henry all those years. But he got old, and he got one foot in the grave and the other one on the sliding part of it. And he wanted to talk to somebody about something. Well, that's sad, isn't it? But they don't know you. They don't know you. You see, the world knoweth us not. Now, wait a minute, what does that mean? They know you. For your earthly, natural characteristics. But it's the Son of God, they don't know you. We're sons of God, and that's the character in which they don't know you. Because they didn't know him. They said, is not this Jesus of Nazareth? Is not this the carpenter? No, this is the Son of God. This is God. Oh, well, let's move on. I've got to move. So he said in verse 2, now, beloved, now are we sons of God. This is a present possession. This is not something I'm going to get later on. I am now a son of God. Right now. Now are we the sons of God. This experience and this relationship and this fellowship is now. He that believeth on the Son will not have eternal life someday. He hath eternal life now. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now look at this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, we like to think about that, don't we? I do. I like to think about that. The pastor referred this morning to Paul's visit to the third heaven. Here's a man, whether in the body, out of the body, he said, I don't know, but God took him to the third heaven. That's right, a man. And he heard things it wasn't possible to utter. And then I read often Luke 24 about our Lord when he appeared to his disciples and walked right into their midst, and they were afraid, and because they saw him die on the cross and saw him buried. And here he stands in the flesh. That's what he said. And he ate with them. Didn't he eat honey and fish? And he said, touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see me. And then I think about Paul's account in 1 Corinthians 15 of the resurrected body. They said, well, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? With what body do they come? It doth not appear what we shall be. But I like to think about it. No man can speak with authority on it. But Paul said this. He said, we'll have flesh. And somebody says, well, flesh. But he said a lot of different kinds of flesh. There's the flesh of birds and the flesh of fish and the flesh of men. And there's glorified flesh. The flesh with which Christ came forth in the tomb. I like to think about those things. But now, wait a minute. Here's your answer. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God, right now, in Christ. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. Okay, this is something we know. When he shall appear, we'll be like him. Now that I know, like him. All right, watch it now, three things. Like him in body. That's right. Like the resurrected Christ. My friends, there's a man in glory. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's like his glorious body. You want to know what body we're going to have? We're going to be like Christ's body. Isn't that right? Like him in body. Secondly, we're going to be like him in soul. God hath predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. What Christ loves, we'll love. What Christ enjoys, we'll enjoy. What Christ Jesus detests, we'll detest. Now, let me tell you something. I read over there in Revelation where God casts people out. It says that he judged the great whore and cast them into eternal condemnation, and every voice in heaven says, hallelujah. True and righteous are his judgments. While the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, the saints say, hallelujah. I can't do that now. There's no way in which I can, in this body, rejoice in the condemnation of that man down the street from me. But when I'm like Christ, not only in body, but in spirit and soul, isn't this right? Someday I'm going to hate sin like he does. And like you quoted this morning, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That's how much he hates sin. He was made sin for us. And that oncoming sin caused his blood to flow the opposite way out the pores of the skin. And someday I'll hate it like this. Someday I'll have the mind of God in regard to holiness and sin. I'll be like Christ. But I'll be like Christ not only in body and soul, but in mind. Soul and mind. I know in part, but then I'm going to know something. We were talking about that this morning. We were talking right here. I think Barbara and Charles and I were talking about we preach in part. There are a lot of things we can't answer. We know in part. We see through a glass dimly. But then, face to face, I'm going to know like I've been known. You think about it. Isn't that something? Listen, now, I want you to watch this. This is important right here. So important. It says here, now are we sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Would you be patient with me just a moment while I develop this? We'll see him as he is. Our minds and our artists try to visualize Christ as he was. That's right. How often do we think about the babe in the manger? Everywhere you go at Christmas time, you see these little nativity scenes. That's how he was. That's not how he is. That's how he was. Or they pictured Jesus Christ as a young boy. You see him there in the temple talking to the doctors. I've seen that picture of Christ got a little halo over his head, and he's standing there as a lad, and all these wise old men are standing pulling their beards and listening to him. That's how he was. Or we see him there on the cross, or the carpenter in Nazareth, or the man preaching out there. But that's not as he is, that's as he was. The manger is no more. The cross is gone. Calvary's gone. The tomb is gone. Only curiosity and idolatry keep these things alive. The women came to the tomb and the angel said, "What are you doing here? Who are you looking for?" They said, "We seek Jesus." He said, "He's not here. He's alive. Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" That's today's worshipers. They're looking for the living among the dead. They're going around the world in Jerusalem looking in a hole in the ground. They run over in Jerusalem and looking for a manger. They run over in Jerusalem looking for a hill where there's some crosses stood. I think it's here. I think it's there. Who cares where it is? It's gone. God obliterated it. My wife and I buried a son 25 years ago out in Rose Hill Cemetery. Got his name on a tombstone out there, and we go out so often. We go out in the spring and we clean up around the grave there and the lot and the markers, and we Doris plants flowers, and we take our watering cans and our hoe and our flowers and we plant them, you know, and we go out every once in a while. But now let me tell you something. One day is going to be a resurrection, and he's coming out of there. Coming out of there. And we won't be going back there no more. I don't plan to go back there. Because he's not there. You see, the body's not there. It's risen. There's nothing there but a hole in the ground. It has no relation to us. It does now. But then it won't have any relationship to us at all. And I'll tell you, nothing but curiosity and idolatry keep this sort of thing alive. Christ is risen. And when he shall appear, we're going to see him like he is. Like he is. He's risen. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. No more the bloody spear. The cross and nails no more. Hell itself shakes at his name. And all the heavens adore. He's enthroned. He's exalted. He's adored. He's worshipped by every creature. He was preaching to that bunch of folks in John 6 about his glory and his power, and they were offended. He said, "Does this offend you? Wait till you see me ascend up where I was." That don't offend us, does it? We're going to see him as he is. And we're going to be like him as he is. He prayed that the Father would give us the same glory that the Father gave him. I can't even comprehend that. Behold! But that's where it is. I'll just read the next verses. "And every man that hath this hope in him," what hope? He's going to be like Christ. He's going to see him as he is. "He purified himself, even as Christ is pure. Whoso committed sin," we know what sin is, it's a transgression of the law. You know, a lot of people don't know what sin is. We know what it is. I read an illustration one time. Listen to this. You know what sin is? It's a transgression of God's law. And it's not the results of sin that determines the evil of it. It's the motive. That's right. The real issue, the results, doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the motive. It's why it's done. Here's a man takes a gun and shoots into a crowd and kills two people. Boy, folks up my arm, they send him to the electric chair, pull a switch and kill him. Here's another man that points a gun at a crowd of people and pulls the trigger and it clicks. It doesn't go off and doesn't kill anybody. So he serves 6 months. Well, now that's man's eye. The results determines the extent of the sin. The man that shot the fellas in the sight of God is no more guilty than the man that wanted to. It clicked. Isn't that right? We know what sin is. Sin is a transgression, not of man's law, God's law. That's right. That's the reason our Lord said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, to look is to be guilty already. You've heard it said, thou shalt to love thine enemies, hate thy, love God, hate thine enemies. So he said, to call your brother a fool is to be guilty of murder already. Thou shalt not murder, not shalt not kill. He said, to think to kill him is to be guilty of it. So this is what I'm saying. Look at this. Whoso committed sin transgresseth the law. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is against God. That's what makes sin a thought as well as an act. Just as intense in God's sight. That's right. But this is what we know. We know who he is. The Son of God was manifested. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Why? To take away our sins. That's why he came, to take away our sins. And listen, and in him there is no sin. The perfect as he is, made like Christ. And we're just waiting. Behold, what banner of love the Father hath already bestowed freely, conferred upon us, that we, of all people, should be called sons of God. And beloved, now are we sons of God. Right now. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we're going to see him and be like him. And he that hath this hope makes him a different person. Because we know what sin is. It's a transgression of God's law. But we know this too. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, we have no sin. All right. Thank you.